from a poem written in Latin by Horace. The gist of the poem goes along the thought of seize the day. And it carries with it because you don't know what the future holds. Take advantage of today. Make the best of today. Now for the Christian, it's not so much along the lines of us not knowing what the future holds. If we're Christians, we can look forward to a home in heaven. That whatever happens, however we leave this world or however we serve in this world, as we serve Christ, as we serve as His child, we as children can have the confidence of what awaits us. John was to write in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, I write these things to you that you may know you have eternal life. You and I, family, can have the confidence of knowing that we have an eternal life. But the thought that goes for the Christian along this theme of seize the day or carpe diem is along the thought of we don't know how many days we're going to have. We know our days are numbered. We're familiar with what James was to write in James chapter 4 and verses 13 through 15 when he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Or consider what the psalmist was to say in the 90th Psalm in verses 9 through 12. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, and if by strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we will fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Family, sometimes it is easy for us to allow the cares of the life, of our life, to come in and steal our present day. You know, we hold on to consolation, we hold on to the knowledge that God has promised us that if we are His children and we live faithful to Him, that we have a home in heaven. And we live with that confidence, we live with that joy, we hold on to that nugget of truth in our own lives, but sometimes even holding on to that nugget, our days fly by. Our days are consumed. And if we're not careful, the life for which God has called us is diminished by our lack of awareness of it. I'd like to present tonight some things from Scripture of why we should seize the day, how we should seize the day. First of all, seize the day while we have opportunity. One of James's points was not to count on the future to make plans. But another application is that we should not put off doing good. Are there things you need to say or things you need to do? Don't put it off. James would say in James chapter 4 and verse 17, to know if to do good and doeth it not is sin. Oh, that we would not lose the opportunity set before us. Verses 16 and 17, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Well, what Paul was to say in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 9 and 10, when he said, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." As I was preparing this lesson, this was supposed to be the lesson for last Sunday night. As I was preparing and working on this lesson, a couple of thoughts came to mind, and I want to share this a little bit with you just for awareness sake. But of all places on earth, the church of our Lord, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, should be a place where Christians are edified, held up, and strengthened. It should be a place where all Christians are loved and wanted. July 1st marked 38 years of me preaching. Do you know that in every congregation where I have ever served, and most of whom I have heard about, there's always been comments made about schisms and sects? That's S-E-C-T-S. There's been conversations about how some people feel left out or unwanted. I've had members of the Lord's church, young and old, say, "You know, nobody would really miss me if I didn't show up." And the sad thing about that is, most of the time that was not said in a large congregation with hundreds of people. It was in a congregation where the numbers were smaller than what we have. But it's not isolated to small or large. Do you know comments have been made, those same comments have been made here in this congregation about people feeling like they don't belong? As the body of Christ, as those who are saved by the blood of Jesus, the church is to be a place where we are loved and strengthened and held up. And I guarantee you, family, one thing that you and I do not know is how many people are just holding on by a string. If we're going to seize today, let's seize the opportunity that today gives us, the opportunity that we have, and not grow weary in that well-doing. To do good as opportunity presents itself. And I would encourage us to look around and to see who might we encourage, strengthen. Did not the Hebrew writer say, "Encourage one another while it is yet called today, lest their hearts be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin"? Now, let us not lose the opportunity, but seize the day, seize the chance, and not let that opportunity fly by. We look and we see, also we can seize the day while we have time. Time seems to be that which we all seem to want. If we're doing chores we don't like, it seems to drag on. If we're enjoying ourselves, it seems to fly by. Holy Spirit said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 17, "See then that you walk circumspectly," that's New King James, "cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There is only 24 hours a day. There's only 60 minutes of every hour. And you and I cannot purchase a few extra hours this day or tomorrow. But the message that the Holy Spirit gives us in redeeming the time is taking back the time that is lost. Do we understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That we take advantage of the time that we have, that we don't waste it, that we put it to use. Walk carefully. You don't have time to waste. For sure, we don't have time to waste in sin. Don't waste the time that we have, but to spend it wisely. There's too much trouble in the world to waste time. In other orders, buy time by giving up time wasters so that you can use your time more profitably. Use time to know what God wants us to do. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people. And many people have told me the same thing over the years. That because the world is the way it is, them having to work in the world and deal with people of the world and spend a lot of their time around people who are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, who are not influenced by the will of God. Their feelings are, is once I get home, I want to pull up the moat bridges. I want to put up the barriers just to have some relief. And yet, how much time do I spend nurturing myself compared to that which I spend in service of others? As Christians, if we're going to seize the day, if we're going to redeem the time, as Paul says, let us look for opportunities. Notice what the Holy Spirit says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. The call is for us to have a proper behavior, not only towards us, towards the church, but towards those outside the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, as Paul is writing back to the church at Thessaloniki that had been such an encouragement to him by their growth and their maturity, he says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God of how to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, increase more and more." Let's keep it up. Do more. You're doing good, but keep it going. Increase more and more, that you also lead, are able to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are on the outside, that you may lack nothing. Do you hear God say, even though you Christians there at Thessaloniki are doing great, your love is demonstrated, is known. And if you look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, you find the commendation that is given, chapter 1 and chapter 5, of this congregation there. But God says, increase, do more. Keep it up. And then we can see, seize the day. For the day is a day of work. The thought in Scripture is, work while it's day, because after death no man can work. Ecclesiastes saying, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. In secular work, we are to work as if serving and working unto God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatever you do, do it, New King James says, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to man. Solomon would also say in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, don't waste what you have, possessions, talents, opportunities. To be self-motivated. Chapter 16 and verse 26 of the Proverbs. The person who labors for himself. For his hungry mouth drives him on. So it's the right note. People have to work. They have to work to eat. That's life. But notice there is work for the Lord. That's far more important. John 9, verse 4. Paul says that we are to run as if to win a prize. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Proverbs 26, 16, there's always going to be excuses. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. We can't waste time on our past. One of the things that is so hard for us to accept is that there are things in our past we cannot change. We can work at trying to resolve issues that are brought up by past choices. We can work at redeeming and restoring relationships. But I have come to believe that more people are hindered by the things in their past than what waits ahead of them in their future. God has set forth a future before His children that far outshines any shade of our past. And as we look, it helps us to understand that today is a day of praise. If we're going to seize the day, we're going to have to take and recognize that today is the day the Lord has given us. I don't have an extra day that you don't have as of this moment. I can't go back and steal a day from my past. And I can't put on reserve an extra day for tomorrow. But each day that I have, that we have, is a day of praise. The psalmist was to say, in the 118th Psalm in verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what today will hold or tomorrow, but if I am the creation for which God sent His Son to die, and He allows me to take a breath, then for me to seize the day, it's going to have to be a day that I praise Him. Remember what Isaiah said? For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down into the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you. As do I this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. Do you hear the heart of Isaiah? He says, here's the way it is in the world. People are dying. People are dying and going down to Sheol. But I praise you. I praise you because I can now. Those who go down don't have access to your truth. Those who go down don't have the opportunity or the hope. But he says, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. For us to seize the day, let us seize the day and praise God. And then the last thought I'd like to present in regards to seizing the day is to realize that today is the day of salvation. Today, if we're going to seize the day, we have to lay hold of that salvation given to us. And Paul says in Romans 13, and do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. To exhort while it's still called. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be aware. Today is what the Lord has given us. If it is a gift that He has presented to us, how will we return it to Him? If today is a kit, how is it finished? There's many things in the Scripture it talks about today. If you do a concordance search, you find a lot of verses talking about today. Today. But I want to exhort each of us as children of God to look and to see the value that exists today and to seize it. To take the opportunity to praise God. To take the opportunity and the time to see the importance, to take the opportunity to hold up and strengthen that for which God deemed valuable enough to send His Son. I have some friends who are collectors. They have all types of collections. And I have been privy to some of their collections. They have shown me some of their collections. And I have to tell you that looking at some of their collections, I say, I mean, they like digging in rocks and articulating fossils. Okay. I'm not a scientist or geologist. I can see the work it went into it, but I would really hate for somebody to say, Gary, won't you take my collection? I don't know what I would do with it. I don't see much value in it. They've got a collection of plaster pirate faces that hang on a wall. I'm told they're valuable, and I'm told there are people who collect these things and are worth a whole lot. I looked at it. And it's that old plaster of Paris we used to make in camp that somebody's painted. I don't see the value in it. So if they were to take that and say, Gary, these are yours, I could appreciate the gift, but not as much as they do, or not as much as someone who understood their value. But as I've considered that over the years, I've come to wonder if Christians, if people, if I may not treat other people that way. I sat down on a bus one time to go to West Virginia. And a man sat down beside me. This man was not well dressed. He wasn't even well bathed. The things that came out of his mouth were not things that I needed to be hearing. I think back. I did not see that man's value. And for 13 hours, I did not talk to him about Jesus or anything else. Family, if you're with us in our Acts class and you remember this vision that Peter saw of the unclean animals being let down. Do you remember what God said to Peter? Don't call unclean what God has called. Oh, that we would seize the day and see the value in that which God considers valuable. To see the opportunities and the times for which we have been allotted to make, of which to make the best. Many people do not have today or tomorrow. Their opportunities are past. Let's not let our opportunities pass us, but let us seize the day. For a day is a day of salvation. If there's a way in which we can encourage you or help you, take advantage of this opportunity. Grant us the opportunity while